I also want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. After you found it, if you'd stand with me, if you're able to stand, let's stand together as we read. I want to thank God, thank your pastor, thank all of you all for sacrificing so much, for allowing, for praying for us for 20 plus years and sending financial support and just for all your many kindnesses. A wonderful pre-service, amen. Luke 16, not a parable, but let's read it. Son of God, God the Son, said, There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray, and then, Lord willing, you can be seated. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that you're a God of love. We know that from many verses in the Bible. Thank you so much for that. John 3:16, 1 John, I believe, 4, verse 8, tells us that you are love. And yet we recognize that you have many attributes, many characteristics, and you're exactly what the Bible says you are. You are loving, you're forgiving, you're kind. You also said payment must be made for sin. Thank you that Christ did that, and if we'll trust him and repent, folks can be saved. Help us speak to our hearts this morning. Give me love and kindness as we think of being faithful, you finding us faithful in witnessing to others, and what could give us a burden for missions, and what could motivate us more for missions other than this thought of an eternal hell. Thank you that you made it easy to preach this morning with the singing and with the missionary presentations. It's obvious that we're preaching the way you wanted us to go. Thank you. Help us, though, speak to our hearts and lift our eyes off of ourselves if we're already saved, and help us to see a world that needs you. Speak to us and help us break our hearts, and I pray in the name of thy Son, and amen. We're thankful that God is a God of love. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. He's so merciful, so kind. If anybody deserved to go to hell, it's me. That's for sure. But the love of God is not the only attribute, the only characteristic about him. Psalm 9, verse 7, you don't have to turn to it, but it says, The Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Verse 8 says, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Psalm 9, verse 16 says, the Lord, the first part of the verse says, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Verse 17 says, the wicked, that's anybody that's lost, shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The kindest thing the preacher can do, and your preacher does it every week, is tell you the truth. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Verse 28 says, the Lord loveth judgment. You say, I thought the Lord loved mercy and kindness and forgiveness. He does, but he's God. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen? I think we saw it on one of the presentations. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. 1 Timothy, I think it is, verse 2, 3, and 4, right along in there, God says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is the desire of God. God gets no pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Bible tells us. But let's look in our passage here and see what we can see. First of all, I see something about the men of hell. I see that in Luke 16. Of course, that means men, women, boys, and girls. What kind of people are going to go to hell? Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure you have. But in Luke 16 here, verse 19, we have a rich man. He went to hell because he never got saved. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Rich and poor has nothing to do with it. Saved people go to heaven, unsaved people don't. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you've thought about 1 John 5, verse 12, and we can argue about it all we want to. Are the heathen lost? You know, we can study, and we all need to study a lot more. That's for sure. We can go to, you know, Bible college for 100 years. God settles the whole thing in one verse with 19 one-syllable words. And what we're talking about are the heathen lost. I'm sure you've thought about that. If they never hear the gospel one time, are they still going to hell? Yes, we'll let the Bible answer that today. It's not what I think about it or what you think about it or the way we wish it was. It's the way God says it is. And 1 John 5, 12 says, God says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 19 little short words. God, we're talking about people that are born with a normal mind. You understand that. They reach the age where they understand right from wrong. Let's look at that while we're there. Turn over to John 3, verse 18. We love John 3, verse 16. We love the whole Bible. John 3, verse 16, we all know that. You know verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But what does verse 18 say? Well, think about it just for a minute. I'm sure you have. What does a person have to do to go to hell? Let's let the Bible answer it. Look at John 3, verse 18. Let's let the Son of God answer it. He that believeth on him, this is Jesus talking about himself, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's read it again. Look at it. Jesus said, he that believeth on him, he's talking about himself, if you trust him as your Savior and his work on the cross, then you're not condemned. We like that if you're saved. Amen. I got saved on April 24th, 1991. I'm not going to hell. I deserve to go there, but I'm not going there. You're not either if you're saved. He that believeth, by the way, salvation has nothing to do with feelings. That's what's wrong with the charismatic churches. Truth is what matters, okay? Not how you feel about it, what God says. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on Christ as Savior is condemned when? Already. Condemned there means to be found guilty, wrong, to pronounce judgment upon. And I think it might have been in one of the DVDs too. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says what? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and what? after this, the judgment. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just be born, get old enough to understand right from wrong, and what's the Bible say? You're condemned from that point on. So the men of hell, what kind of people are going to go to hell? All kinds. Revelation 21:8 says all believers are going to be cast into the lake of fire. We don't like to think about it, do we? But that's what God says. That's why, you know, your missions conference, it's not a joke. And I know you understand that. You're a very serious church. What you write down on your card, you know, that you're going to tell God, you're going to promise God that you're going to give to missions for the next year. Very serious thing, isn't it? Look at verse 36 in John 3. I think you're still there. God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believeth means entrust, have faith in. He that believeth on the Son of God, in other words, hath everlasting life. You're not going to get it when you die. You already have it when you get saved. The very moment you get saved. The word is hath. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What else, though? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's eternal life. What's it say? But the wrath of God abideth on him. Wrath here means indignation with the purpose of revenge, punishment, and vengeance. You say, preacher, are you talking about the same God that loves us? Yes. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, to me belongeth vengeance, God says, and recompense. Verse 41, Deuteronomy 32 says, God says, if I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Romans chapter 8, I believe, tells us that man, before he gets saved, or the carnally minded man, is at enmity with God. That's bitter hostility against God. A lost man, woman, boy, or girl, is not the friend of God. God wants to save them, amen? Wants them to be his friend, but we're at enmity with God before we get saved. The men of hell, what kind of people are going to go to hell? Religious people are going to go to hell. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews, wasn't he? Rich people, Luke 12, verse 16, the rich man, remember he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I'm so blessed. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. All people of all walks of life that don't trust Christ as Savior are going to go to hell. And it's a sad thought, but that's what God says. And I'm trying to say it with as much love as I can, but I'm going to be honest with the Scriptures. The men of hell, secondly, the misery of hell. Look at Luke 16, if you'd turn back there, perhaps. Maybe keep a piece of paper there, or your, you know, one of your fingers there. Luke 16, and I'm thinking about Find Us Faithful. I'm preaching on missions. This is pertinent to missions. What more could give us more of a burden for missions than the thought that real people are going to go to a real hell and burn forever in a real sense? Luke 16, we see the men of hell, maybe verses 19 to about down to verse 23. First part of the verse, maybe the second part of verse 23 and verse 24, we see the misery of hell. It says, the rich man also died. This is Luke 16, verse 22, the end of the verse. And was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Not lifted, that would be past tense, like the tortures are over. When you go to hell, the tortures are never over. Are you still awake? Being in torments, not just torments, that's plural. He lifted up his eyes, he still had his eyes. Seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, again, have mercy. He wanted some water, didn't he? It says he's tormented in this flame. Hell's a place of no hope. Proverbs 10 and verse 28, you won't be able to turn to all these. I've got them marked. Proverbs 10, verse 28 says, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And the next verse says, destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Hell's a place of vengeance. We already looked at that. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, no hope. Hell's a place of crying, Jesus said. Jesus did most of the preaching about hell in the New Testament. It's almost, now all the Bible's inspired. Amen. It's all, are you still with me? It's almost as if God couldn't trust a man to tell how awful hell's going to be. So Jesus did most of the preaching himself, didn't he? Hell's a place of crying, weeping, and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 8, verse 12 says. There's a lot of references to hell in the Bible. I think 31 in the Old Testament, maybe 23 in the New Testament. Certainly we want to lift our eyes off of ourselves and look at the rest of the world. However, there could be somebody in this crowd this size, that's not saved or not sure. Or maybe you're a phony like I was years ago. And the preacher talked about it. Maybe that was this morning or maybe one of the other services. You said, maybe we need to swallow our pride. That's what I had to do. Yeah, I was a deacon. You know, after I got saved, though, nobody beat me over the head. They didn't say, I thought you were already saved. You know what? Everybody came up to me and shook my hand and said, Mike Norris, he was my sending pastor back then. He was a little surprised. He said, you want to be baptized? I said, that's it, next week. Need to get baptized after you get saved, amen? I'd made several professions of faith before that. Got baptized several times. Had no assurance. There's a difference in being saved and being sure you are, but we should just believe God, amen? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? shall in the original, right? Why would we doubt God? Why not believe God? Hell's a place of damnation, Matthew 23, verse 33, and Isaiah 3, verse 11. Remember Mark 9, verse 43? Jesus said over and over and over again, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not, where the soul dieth not, in other words. Hell's a place of consciousness. Hell's a place of misery. We don't want people, we want to be faithful in our local church, right? And to send out, isn't it exciting about these missions? Weren't these presentations great this morning? It's hard to just sit still, isn't it, and do nothing. And I'm not saying God's called everybody to be a missionary. He's commanded everybody to go into all the world. Many people are unable or unwilling. These guys are not unwilling. And their wives and their children. So I'm sure I know you're excited about sending them. The men of hell, the misery of hell in verses 23 and 24. The mercilessness of hell. Hell's a place where there's no more mercy. You know, you can take anything if you know it's going to be over at some point, can't you? Well, hell never ends for anybody that goes there. Think of that. We see that in verse 26, Luke 16. God the Son of God said again, Luke 16, 26, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, when you get to hell, you can't get out. You cannot get out. Everybody wants to get, of course, the verse tells us that you can't get out of heaven either. Anybody that goes to heaven doesn't want to get out, but everybody that goes to hell wants to get out. But nobody ever will. I don't believe anybody that goes there, somebody goes to hell, I believe they don't want to see their worst enemy come where they are. Hell's a place of no more mercy. Now, the door of mercy is open, and if we could just get missionaries to Japan, northern Japan, some people could get saved. Now, somebody cared enough about me, mainly it was God, wasn't it? Somebody cared enough about you to give, didn't they? So this church could be here or wherever you got saved. Now it's our turn, isn't it? It's our responsibility. God expects us to go. He commanded us to go, and He's going to hold us accountable for just that. Never-ending torment. Revelation 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Cast means hurled, thrown, bound perhaps by angels. And I believe you and I that are saved, I believe we'll watch that day. We'll have many regrets. Hell's a place also of everlasting punishment. Luke 16 and verse 24, 25, and 26. Mercilessness. imagine. Isaiah 33:14 talks about it. Revelation 14:10, many other verses. Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Punishment there means infliction or torment, terrible pain, both mentally and physically. We ought to be faithful. I haven't been many times. God is so faithful to us, is He not? The mercilessness of hell. Man has his memory in hell. Look at verse 25. I believe he does. I believe he'll have a heightened memory, and I believe it'll be based on that verse partly right there. Luke 16:25. You still with me? Look at it. Look at your Bible. "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." It all got turned around after death for these guys, didn't it? They probably had a big funeral for the rich man, but that really doesn't matter, does it? I've led Hindu people to the Lord in Trinidad. And they got saved just a few days before they died, you know. Well, their family goes ahead and has some kind of, you know, Hindu. Well, it doesn't make any difference. They're absent from the body, present with the Lord. We want to preach the gospel. Funerals are great places to preach the gospel in Trinidad. 3 or 4 days in a row before they bury the body, we get to, you know, have the wake services and people come and we can preach to many, many folks. And we thank God for that. Everlasting punishment. What a thought. Man has his memory in hell. The last thing, though, there's a missionary spirit in hell. Verse 27-31. We already read it earlier. But he says that verse 28, a guy hadn't been in hell for 5 seconds, and what's he want to do? Want to send out missionaries. It's too late. Whatever we're going to do for God, we need to do it now. How much time do we have left? I don't know. I might not finish this sermon, huh? We just don't know, do we? Missionary friend of mine, Brother Jackson, 54 years old, one of my best friends, he just died in his sleep about 6 months ago. Great soul winner. Great preacher. While other people are having a conference on soul winning, he's out doing it. He's one of them kind of guys. You know, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Why would God take somebody like that? I don't know. But God makes no mistakes. I know that. A national pastor is leading the church where he was. That might be the only good thing, I guess. Brother Jackson not there. But there's a missionary spirit in hell, but whatever we're going to do, we need to do it now. You get to hell or after we die, if we're saved after we die, it's too late, isn't it? It's too late to give any more money, isn't it? Then, it's too late to pray or give. Anyway, he said, "I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment." Torment or tormented or torments is used 4 or 5 times in this passage. I think God's trying to emphasize something to us, don't you? Hell's a terrible place. If you're saved, aren't you glad you're not going there? The missionary spirit that's in hell. Verse 29 said, though they have Moses and the prophets, they have Stanley Heights in this area, don't they, Baptist Church? But some of them still won't listen, will they? If one could raise from the dead, interestingly or ironically, or something, Jesus raised one later by the same name, didn't he? Lazarus. Yeah, people want signs and wonders. Now, it's just the Bible, just the Word of God. That's all we need. If they won't respond to that, they won't. What can we do? We can pray. We can give. You could go, couldn't you? What's Luke 6:38? This is a missions conference. What's it talk about? Give. The Son of God again said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you." Again, we can pray. We could pray. We could start obeying Matthew 9:38. God's commanded us to do that, to pray. Would you be willing to pray and ask God to call your children or your grandchildren? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if He did that? Folks used to do that decades ago. They used to come up, and a preacher in West Virginia this year was telling me, he used to see parents come and they'd be crying tears. This is back in the 1970s. He heard him. He was younger back then. He overheard him while he was praying too, trying to. But he heard him praying and crying and asking God to call their children to the mission field. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We could pray. We could give. You could go giving. God will, he'll enable you to give through you. God wants to give you money that he normally wouldn't give to you if he knows he can trust you so that you'll give it to missions. That's what it's about as we think of giving to missions. And those in the book of 2 Corinthians there, the churches of Macedonia, they gave within their ability, but then they gave above that. And this is a voluntary thing. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8 and verse 24 says, we'll prove our love to God, though, by our giving. As we keep it in context there, giving. God wants us to give. And we'll prove our love for Him. He says so in Matthew 6, verse 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I'd encourage you to get involved in giving to missions and this voluntary offering that you have an opportunity to give. What a blessing to be able to give to God and to just get involved in His work. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I believe the pastor will come and explain some things further, and the Holy Spirit and him will finish out the...
Well, let's all stand together, shall we? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. We'll take care of things with grace giving, faith promise giving in a minute, but we need to take care of some things right now about life and about eternity. And our preacher just put it right to us about life and about eternity. And let's think about, are you ready for eternity? What do you have to do to go to hell? You don't have to do anything. Without Christ, you're already on your way. You need Jesus Christ to save you individually and personally. And whatever your life story is, all of us have a different story. But every one of us, no matter who you are, every one of us must personally receive Jesus Christ to be saved once and for eternity. So I wonder if you are saved. And in just a minute, if you're not saved, this is a day that God's prepared for you to be saved. He's waiting. He's willing. He's ready to save. He's done all that can be done. And on this day, you've been clearly confronted that if you do not respond to Him, you will one day, your story will be written that in hell you'll lift up your eyes. And you don't need to, that doesn't need to be your story. So in just a moment will be a time, and we'll give you a chance to leave your seat as quickly as you can. And there'll be men here, and they'll direct you to somebody who will open the Bible and lead you to Jesus Christ. Now, in light of eternity, those of us that know Jesus Christ, we have one life. And I wonder how God is dealing with your heart in very specific ways, having heard what you've heard today and seen what you've seen today. And as God the Holy Spirit is dealing with your life, and we want to give you an opportunity as one of God's children now to make those changes and to say, this is a moment in my life when things will change and I'm beginning another step of my journey in light of eternity. And so, Lord God, at this invitation, we pray that you would speak and help the people, each of us, to respond as you are leading. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.